Seems like every day we learn more and more about the ways that our tech follows us and reports back on what we buy, where we go, even what we're thinking, so it seems. Well, Joel Stein, who is a columnist for many years, Time Magazine, I've read him regularly, wrote for the Los Angeles Times as well, has written for Bloomberg Businessweek a piece titled, I Tried Hiding from Silicon Valley in a Pile of Privacy Gadgets. And he's here to share with us what his experience was like using tech to avoid being tracked by tech. Joel, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on. I could have just turned off my phone and stopped using Google and moved to the woods, but that didn't seem...
That's not realistic.
No, it's not consumerist. It's not American. I felt like in order to combat my gadgets, I needed to buy more gadgets.
So let's talk about the ways that you do that. What sorts of apps and extensions on browser, things are out there to try and disguise what we're doing?
There are a lot of easy things to do. There's a lot of incredibly difficult things to do, some of which I didn't even bother writing about because I didn't truly understand them myself. But the simple things were there's a browser called Brave that doesn't track you. There's a search engine called DuckDuckGo. There's a cool app called Jumbo that does this really smart thing, which is you could do yourself. Like you could go on Facebook and set all the little levers to more private. But it takes so long that Jumbo does it for you. It erases all of your old tweets and stores them for you so that you hopefully people won't go back through your tweets to find something offensive. There were a lot of things. And then one thing I was really interested in was facial recognition, which had become a bigger and bigger deal, as is your license plate scanning, which is done by various private companies as well as police and then stored. So they kind of have an idea of where your car is and where it's been.
And you can't just cover up your license plate. That'll get you stopped.
It will, because one of the things I was going to buy off of Amazon I found different ways, companies like privacy.com and sudo.com, where you can get kind of bespoke email addresses and bespoke credit card numbers. So I was able to buy things off of Amazon in different places. One thing I was going to buy was one of those credit card covers, those see-through things. But it turns out license plate covers. And turns out they're very illegal. And Business Week has this thing where they won't reimburse you for illegal purchases.
For illegal things?
So I said no to that.
That's not very understanding of.
I thought so too.
I didn't realize that. So the covers that go, even though it's readable, but that blocks out the scanning technology, you can't use those.
No, they're illegal in I think every state, but certainly in California.
All right. Let's talk about how some of these different things work. So Brave, how does that work?
Oh, it's just a different company out of, I think, near Philadelphia that has a browser. And they don't sell your data. And they don't store your data. So they have a slightly different model for making money. It may prove effective. It may not. But their policy is just to be private.
And so DuckDuckGo is for search.
I found like a little Amazon Echo thing called Mycroft made out of Kansas City, which is adorable. It looks like Wally. It has these cute eyes. And it also doesn't store or sell your data.
So you can actually use one of those Alexa-type devices and not have that stored or not have it listened to by employees of the company?
Well, I will warn you that this is a pretty new company. It doesn't quite work. It's not at the level of Alexa or Google Home yet. But yes, that's their goal, is to work just like those other things, except not store or sell your data.
But isn't the appeal of, whether you're using Amazon or Google's platforms for that, that you're able to access all that's there? So if it's some startup company, can it interface with what Amazon or Google has available to you?
Yeah, they have a deal with Spotify. They have a deal with a lot of the things that you would normally use. And it turns out you only use those things for like a timer, music, and news.
Yeah.
The other things, very, very few people use them to turn off their lights or open their garage door or that kind of stuff.
Or set their thermostat
or set their thermostat, yeah.
All right. I'd love to hear from AirTalk listeners. I'd love to hear from you. What lengths have you gone to try and cover up your tracks with your apps online, whether you're using an assistant at home? 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. And I don't mean just going and saying, well, I don't use the smart speaker because I don't want the vulnerability there. If you found a way to use the technology, but to in some way disguise where you're going, what you're doing, or to keep more private your activity, let us know. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Joel, what about the time commitment involved? Because I think that's what's daunting, is even if you research all these things, just the time to implement all of it isn't easy.
Yeah, because I did all of this stuff. And a couple of things stuck. Like, I still use LastPass for all my password managing. But even things that were really kind of simple to use that I mentioned before, I've stopped using them. It's just pure – it's not harder to use DuckDuckGo. I just somehow default back
got
to
out of
Google. And what I quickly learned is, much like global warming or any kind of problem of the commons – this isn't something you can fix yourself. This is something that needs to be fixed on a kind of societal level.
Well, in California, coming up with new guidelines to deal with internet privacy, it's taking the national lead in this. What do you think?
So is San Francisco. Yeah. San Francisco's new laws. I mean, the place.
Isn't that ironic?
Oh, it's not ironic. The place that creates this stuff knows what's going on. So they got rid of a lot of their facial recognition stuff and banned the cops from using that. I got on a flight a couple of months ago, and when we boarded, it was Air France, and when we boarded, instead of them asking for our passport or even our tickets, they used facial recognition, which means I don't know how they did it, but I think Air France got my face off of my passport.
That would make sense.
Yeah, and then so now Air France knows a ton about me and can kind of follow me almost anywhere, which is so weird that we've given all these people that power.
Well, I was going to say, it's one thing to say that law enforcement can't use it. But as you mentioned earlier, the private sector is really where most of this is being done. There are cameras everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And what you forget is that because unless you're vulnerable at that moment to being tracked, it doesn't seem that bad. But if you're a woman who's being stalked by an ex-boyfriend or trying to leave an abusive marriage and people can track where you are physically in space, it's very scary. I mean, you can go on Google right now and it will tell you everywhere you've been kind of happily over the, it'll tell you everywhere you've been the last few years. And whether you've actually used Google Maps or not, your phone is there and it's tracking you. So if someone has your password, they can figure out everywhere you've been and where you usually go.
And all of that, of course, is it requires an opt out. The default is that you're in.
Totally. Yeah. Which, when I was in France, it works the other way. Every time you go on a website, there's a warning that do you want to do this? Their laws are much more stringent than ours.
We're talking with Joel Stein, a journalist who wrote the Bloomberg Businessweek piece, I Tried Hiding from Silicon Valley in a Pile of Privacy Gadgets. And again, I'd like to hear from you if you have particular workarounds, apps, features to try and give yourself a bit more privacy when you're online, using your smartphone, using a smart speaker at home, 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. What I always love are based on musical preferences, how they peg you for certain products, because of my musical taste, I keep getting ads that are clearly aimed at an African-American consumer. And it's interesting how all of this stuff is
now I need
through.
To know. Are you listening to
I'm
picture like Motown-y.
I'm listening to largely African-American artists. So the presumption is, he must not be white. And so I get ads that are very, pictures of African-American middle-aged couples or individuals, because because of my taste, I must be of that race.
Yeah, I did a cover years ago for Time on data mining on these kind of companies like Experian. And they're not that accurate. I mean, based on a couple of purchases, you can really throw them off.
Yeah, very blunt instrument, no question.
But the facial recognition is not blunt. And the license plate stuff is not blunt. That is you. And and the Google tracking device in your location is not blunt. So a lot of these things are getting much better.
866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Apparently, Facebook, you can see what they've inferred about your identity selling to advertisers. When we come back, we'll talk about that and how disconcerting that might actually be, either because it's highly accurate or because it's not. 866-893-KPCC. Back in 1 minute. Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about privacy, how little of it we have as we're tracked with apps, we're tracked by browser traffic online, and of course, smart speakers in the home just bring this to a whole other level. What are the ways that people work around that? We're talking with Joel Stein, longtime columnist for Time Magazine, wrote for many years for the Los Angeles Times, and wrote a Bloomberg Business Week piece titled, I Tried Hiding from Silicon Valley in a Pile of Privacy Gadgets, and writes about his experiences. Natalie, our producer, just mentioning on Facebook how you can see how they have you pegged. So our 20-something producer, Natalie, is pegged as 50 to 55 years old.
She works in public radio.
I guess that's why that would be. But
they're basically right.
She said, aside from that, it's pretty accurate. And is there any way with Facebook that you can keep them from trying to determine who you are?
There's all kinds of privacy buttons. And going through them was so boring that I gave up and I used Jumbo to set my privacy apps. But yes, there are ways to keep Facebook from using your data to sell to you.
Let's talk with Billy in Mission Viejo. You're on Air Talk.
Hi. So I work in IT. I've been doing a lot of machine learning and artificial intelligence. And what I do is I basically try to fool the Googles by entering address to my house, I'll enter an address to a nearby location like the Mission Viejo Mall because I know how to get home from there. And I also do different things like turn off location services and set reminders on my phone to do stuff like that to try to evade the system, so to speak.
And so when you're putting in, let's say, something nearby, you're trying to navigate somewhere and you put in another point, you feel like that gives you at least a little more privacy than the specific address you're going?
I do, because as soon as I turn off location services, they're not going to know once I kind of get close to where I need to be. And I think also just creating different personas. I don't always log in with my email address. You know, when I register, I use different email addresses. I know the phone number has become kind of the social security number of like the modern world, right? So I try my best to, you know, fool the system, but I try not to enter my own number. Sometimes I can't avoid it.
Yeah. Billy, thanks so much.
It's crazy that we're out there basically acting like spies. Right? Like there's, he probably has a drop-off point where he gives things to people. But yeah, your cell phone number is more valuable on the black market than your social security number.
All right. Yeah, and explain how our phone number is so valuable.
Well, your phone number tells you a ton about you, and it's really what you need in order to crack your way into people. First of all, people have two double verification on their phone. So if you can get someone's phone number, you can kind of pretend to be them. And that's one way that people hack into you. But it just has a lot of really rich information about you because we use it everywhere and we give it to everyone without thinking.
Yeah, unlike a social security number, which you obviously think long and hard before you share on any kind of an application.
So it is kind of...
But we all give our phone numbers out.
Yeah, what I did was I went to a site called MySudo, another one called Burner, and you can get other phone numbers that will also be sent to your phone. And that way you can give those out, get rid of them. Because it's such a pain if you ever get hacked or if people have your phone number and you don't want it to reset your phone
number.
These
are just open phone numbers? It's not like you have to get another line.
And you could choose your area code. And
Really?
I sent a text to my wife that I really shouldn't have, claiming that someone had pretending to be someone else who I said had a crush on her. I thought it was a good April Fool's. It was not
a good
April
Fool's. Did that go over well? All right.
866. It was not a good April.
866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Canoga Rich writes on the page, isn't the genie already out of the bottle? Even with my coal-burning iPhone 4, I'm still linked to Amazon, the cloud, Waze, and more. Shopping and convenience has already cost us our privacy. I can be tracked and marketed to almost anywhere, even when I'm careful.
Yeah, it didn't need to be set up this way. Obviously, we wanted things we were willing to pretend things were free in exchange for giving out all of our data. And it doesn't need to be that way. It is that way, but the genie certainly could be put back in the bottle in various ways, and it didn't need to be set up this way.
And is there any way that the business model of tech companies would work if this was all opt-in instead of opt-out? Do you think they'd have enough data?
It would have to be a different model based less on selling your data and advertising and more on actually charging you
for
things. We
have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we pay for email, we pay for whatever.
That's one other way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening in other countries, particularly the EU, where they have more restrictions on this? Have any of the companies talked about charging for the services?
Well, a lot of these companies are global, like Google or Facebook. So I don't know. I mean, this is a dent, but it doesn't destroy them. Then you have other countries like China, where you really see the dystopia of what happens when you track people, especially the Uyghur people, who are kind of the test case right now of what you can do to people. And people who don't worry about their privacy because they're like, oh, I'm not a criminal. I think people are starting, now that facial recognition is being shared with ICE agents, I think, you know, who is a criminal when you don't trust your government is a very dubious question.
How does DuckDuckGo make its money if they're not using your search data to, you know, to sell that info?
They have a complicated point system that I understood at one point that I do not understand anymore. And I'm not entirely sure they do make money, is the honest truth.
All right. Let's see. We have Jim writes on the page. How do we know we can trust ostensibly private products like Brave, DuckDuckGo, VPNs, etc.? Seems to me a bad actor interested in collecting sensitive data could create a service like this and get a ton of information with trust from their users. We know companies like Facebook have lied about what they do with our data.
For sure, which is why it's important when you pick a VPN to try and do as much research as you can and use one of the bigger, more trusted outfits. But yeah, this is all kind of scary stuff.
All right.
It needs to be regulated by someone other than just like Yelp users. It needs to be regulated by a governmental organization.
Well, and it has the tech industry itself, given that their, you know, model is predicated on this, they're going to fight this tooth and nail every step of the way. And now, you know, they're big campaign contributors.
So I hear.
I don't think they're likely to be lobbying for it. Joel, thanks so much for coming on, sharing your experience. But sounds like you've backslid since writing this.
I have, and I'm sorely embarrassed about it. But my phone is in the other room right now, and I feel okay about it.
All right, Joel Stein, thanks so much. Good to have you with us. Again, I've enjoyed your writing for so many years. Joel Stein, Bloomberg Business Week piece, I tried hiding from Silicon Valley in a pile of privacy gadgets. Fresh Air with Terry Gross coming up next. Terry's going to talk with Sister Helen Prejean. You probably know her from Dead Man Walking, the book that she wrote, her memoir, as well as the film that was made from that. She's 80 years old and has a brand new memoir, Sister Helen Prejean, with Terry coming up on Fresh Air. Have a great afternoon. I'm back with you tomorrow morning at 10.